morning. God is good. God is good and worthy to be praised. Worthy, worthy, worthy is our God. I have just a few announcements here that we didn't get covered. First, we want to give honor to God, who is the head of our lives, and thank him for blessing us to be able to be in this house this morning. Because if it had not been for God on our side, if it had not been for God on our side, where would we be? Hallelujah. I'd like to acknowledge, the church would like to acknowledge Sister Judy Ross, Sister Danny Ross, Shonda Jackson, Ann Logan, and others. If you notice, every time a season changes, that all the decorations in the church change according to the season. Regardless of what's going on in this house, the beautification committee is always on point. And so now we have a holiday, Christmas and Thanksgiving holiday decorations up, and we just like to thank them. If they could just stand up if they're in the house. I know Sister Judy back there sang it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Stand up. If any more of her committee here, just stand up. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, everybody don't have a vision for decorating. You know, and mine's not real good. I call on somebody. I need to do so-and-so what to do. Because I've either had the wrong thing in the wrong place. Praise God. Praise God. And also, I'd like to offer prayer this morning. And I need everybody to stand because at this moment, we're going to bless and pray for our new refrigerator that we got down in the kitchen. The old one was kabunk. And the Lord blessed us with a brand new one. And they're not cheap. They are not cheap for industrial size refrigerators. So we're going to offer prayer and a blessing upon this refrigerator. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We glorify your name. We thank you because you are a can-do God. Lord, you can do all things, Lord. And Lord, we thank you this morning for blessing us with being able to get a new refrigerator, Lord. Lord, we know some churches that don't even have refrigerators, Lord. And so we thank you for this, Lord. Father, we pray that this refrigerator will be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom to spread your gospel, Lord. Lord, we also pray for all those that's going to be using it and putting stuff in it, that they would clean up behind themselves, Lord, and keep it, Lord, so that we can have it for a long time, Lord. Not just to treat it like any old thing, but treat it like it's their own refrigerator, Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. We ask you to give us long life with the refrigerator, Lord, that we can serve you. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Thank God and amen. I just got one more thing to say. Do you know we have a full band? Not just one or two musicians. We have a full band. And when they come into the house to play, they play. They not playing around. They play. And see, I'm a lover of music. I like all kind of music. You come to my house and the music might be sky high. I might be able to hear you on the door. Because the music is so loud. But I love music. Today we got a drummer boy back there. I heard you. I heard you. Oh my goodness. Praise God. And the guitar. We got two keyboard players back there. My God. We got the horn player. We got it all. So we need to just thank God for that. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, it's time for a word. All right.
And they got everything else out the way. Any more? Announcements? That's it? Okay. Praise God. Praise God. We got a word. First thing I want to do is I want to thank everybody in this congregation, because I know y'all was praying for me. I have never been up against anything like that before in my life. But God brought me through. So I want to just continue to thank you and praise you and just glorify y'all, because, you know, family pray for family. You know, so that makes me know that y'all my family. I appreciate your prayers. Every time somebody called me doctor, it sound real funny to me. So I laugh. It sound funny, but I guess I'll get used to it. Praise God. To the deacons and ministers and ministries of this church, to the media crew who do an awesome job, to the members of the Tabernacle Baptist Church, I say good morning to you, and I love you. And I also want to thank you for continuing to pray for my son who is ill. He is still not well, and praying for my brother-in-law. And he did pass, and his homegoing was yesterday in Birmingham, Alabama. So I thank you for those prayers as well. If you don't mind bowing your heads for just one more prayer. Even now, Lord, even now. Lord, bless me to articulate your words so that every ear and every heart in this house will hear you speaking to them and understand what you have sent me to do. I've done my study. I need your spirit. I prepared to the best of my ability, and I need your power. Send a fresh wind and a fresh fire. Remove Robin right now in the name of Jesus and stand up in me. In Jesus' precious name I do pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Only God can make a day. And if he gives you the day, he will surely give you the bread that you need for that day. And I believe that. If you don't mind turning in your Bibles to St. Luke, Dr. Luke, to the 7th chapter, 11 through 15. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. If you don't mind standing for the scriptures. Luke 7. Starting at the 11th verse. It says, soon afterward, Jesus with his disciples went with his disciples to a village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. The King James Version said, and it came to pass the day after, a funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. He said, "Don't cry." Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it. And the bearers stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up, began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. That's a can. You may be seated. Find your seat.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God for the word. Praise God for the word. Woo, Jesus. All of us has had what I call dull moments in life, or sad moments in life. We have those moments when the sun don't seem like it's ever going to shine again. Even though we know the sun is going to shine, we just have concluded that it's not going to shine on us anymore. And there are times when we do find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, between the devil and the deep blue sea. And if we're honest enough, if we're honest with ourselves, we will confess that there are times when we wonder if God has forgotten where we live.
Come on now. Come on.
Have you ever had those times in life that God has not answered? You've been praying, praying for the sick, they get sicker, praying for the sick, they die, praying for finances, you lose your job. Have you ever had times like that? I know I have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you had times when problems in your life that God has not solved? Have you had a season that continue to be darkened by negative circumstances?
Yeah.
One thing after another. You know, I know we always say, if it ain't one thing, it's something else. Always something going on. Have you had times when experiences grew worse and worse, and you wonder, where is the goodness of God in my life? We know he's a can-do God. We know that there's goodness in God, but there's sometimes we are under that shadow, and we wonder, where is the goodness of God? Those moments in life when you are lower than a footprint, when you tell the truth about, when you tell the truth about the matter.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is ultimately awesome about the God we serve, that when we are at our lowest, it is then that we discover God is at his best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on.
When we discover that he is a can-do God, I like that, that he is a can-do God. Because we know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible tells us that he shall reign forever and ever. And his kingdom shall be no end. Amen. Amen. There are times. There is a well-known song that we all know. We learned it as children. And our children have taught their children, schools, and even some churches have taught the song to the children. Retail stores and radio stations really go overboard playing the song in order to get parents to spend money around this time of year. December the 14th, 1970, there was a 52-year-old man named Fred Astaire. And he narrated the Christmas song that has been sung in an unknown number of movies. I can't sing. I'm not going to say I can sing it. I can sing in a choir. I can kind of carry a tune. But I'm not a singer. But the song goes like this. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Now, that's it. Now that you're singing that tune in your head, you got the Santa Claus song in your head, I'm getting ready to flip the script. I didn't know what to name this sermon, but I'm going to call it Jesus is Coming to Town. Jesus is coming to town. Not Santa Claus, but Jesus is coming to town. The scriptures tell us that Jesus left one town, headed to another town. Do that sound like Santa Claus?
Yeah.
He left one town, headed to another town. He had been healing in the town that he was at. Now he going to another town. He didn't take an Uber. He didn't take a Lyft. He didn't catch a train or a subway. Didn't have a horse or a donkey. Scripture said he walked. They walked. Now in biblical times, to walk from Capernaum to the city of Nain, it would take 1 or 2 days. 1 or 2 days of walking. You know, we don't walk no more than 15, 20 minutes. 30 at the most. If we got some athletics in here that run, they might run 45 minutes to an hour. But walking for 1 to 2 days, come on now. And some sandals, ain't had no big shoes on, no Nikes. You just walking in the sandals on top of the rocks. Lord have mercy. Lord, I'm just going to say for my feet, Lord, have mercy. Okay? Lord, have mercy. Jesus had just left Capernaum where he had healed a Roman soldier's slave. Not a child, but his slave, because he honored him that much. But the slave was not there in Capernaum. Where Jesus was at, he had already been healing. The slave was not there, but he sent an elder. If you read the scriptures ahead, he sent an elder to ask Jesus to come to heal the slave. I guess Jesus said, all right, when I get done here, I'm heading there. So he was heading there, but before he could get there, the Roman soldier sent some friends and said, I ain't even worthy for you to come to my house to heal this man, but this man needs to be healed. This man needs to be healed. Well, to me, that Roman soldier recognized that he had a sinful life. He recognized his sins. He recognized who Jesus was. He recognized the authority that Jesus had. He recognized the power that Jesus had, and that Jesus could heal without even being there. So he asked the friends, just asked Jesus to heal him, because I know you got the authority to do this. You can say this and that'll happen because I got the authority to send them here and they go. And I got the authority to tell them to come back and they come. So I know that you are Jesus and you have the authority. You can heal without even coming to my house.
Come on.
And you know what Jesus said? That he has not seen faith like that in all of Israel. Do you believe right now, Tabernacle, that Jesus has the power to heal without ever being in the presence? Do you believe? Do you believe that God is able? We don't have to send God nowhere. We don't have to send Jesus nowhere because we know he's already there. But do you have enough faith to believe that it can be done? See, it all boils down to your faith in what you believe. Your faith in what you believe. Now, after walking for maybe 2 days, Jesus arrived in a town called Nain. Now, because he had done all the healing and healing people by, not by pigeon carrier, just saying healing, and he was healed, he had a crowd that was following him. So with a crowd following him, he was walking up on another crowd. See, that's why I almost named the sermon, One Crowd Meets Another Crowd.
Come on now.
With one crowd following Jesus, he was being approached by another crowd. The approaching crowd was a funeral procession. The crowd that was following Jesus was a crowd that had seen his miracles. So the crowd that was following Jesus was an excited crowd. They was excited. They was probably talking about, did you see him do so-and-so? Did you see what happened to so-and-so? So-and-so been sick for I don't know how long, and now they went. You know, this was the crowd that was following Jesus, an excited crowd, a jubilant crowd, expecting to see more Jesus miracles. The crowd following him wanted to see what Jesus would do next. But the crowd that was coming was the exact opposite. The crowd that he would meet outside the gates of Nain was a crowd that was in mourning. This crowd was not expecting joy. This crowd was not expecting miracles. This crowd was in a moment of sadness. This crowd was in one of those dull moments that I talked about in life. This crowd was not expecting the sun to shine. This crowd was in one of those lower than a footprint moments. The widow and the hired mourners were in a moment of grief, but Jesus was coming to town. Jesus was on his way to Nain, and if anybody in his congregation could just say one time, Jesus is coming to town. Amen, amen. Jesus is coming to town. The expectation of Jesus coming to town should give you more joy than Santa Claus coming to town. Santa Claus would come with some presents and his big old bag riding on his sleigh. That's what all the cartoons and the movies portray. But Jesus is our present. He is our present. He has never, ever walked in on a dead situation and not changed the atmosphere. Never. Jesus can walk in on a dead situation and bring life to it. Jesus did not like death. When he came upon a funeral or somebody dead, he turned a dead situation into a life situation. You will never be able to find in the Bible in a situation where Jesus was preaching a eulogy or teaching about death and funerals. When he came upon death, he changed it. The widow's son was the first. Jesus also showed his power over death by raising the young daughter of Jairus in a synagogue's leader. The third person that Jesus raised from the dead was his friend Lazarus of Bethany. His sister said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, I'm here now. I am the resurrection. Yeah, he gonna rise in the end. No, I am the resurrection and the life. And he told Lazarus to come forth. He had to call him by name. He had to call him by name. Because when Jesus died, there was an unknown number, which we nobody knows. It's not even written in the Bible. That when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says in Matthew that the earth shook, the rock split, and the tombs broke open. These open tombs remain open until that third day. When Jesus got up, the bodies of many holy people got up too. When Jesus died on the cross, their doors were set free. And when Jesus woke up, they woke up with Jesus. They came out of the tombs after Jesus was resurrected. The fame and popularity of Jesus continued to grow with the ones that was coming from Nain and Capernaum and all over that region, because people were saying what Jesus was doing. He was healing. He was healing like he had a carrier pigeon and saying, go heal, and people were being healed. So people were talking about this. They was talking about this man named Jesus. Then the Bible said, upon entering the gates, Jesus came on that funeral. A dead man was being carried out We know that a funeral is a tragedy and a sad situation. But this was a special loss because the deceased was the only son of this mother, and she herself was a widow. The loss of her son meant a miserable future for her as a widow. She might face hunger. She might even face homelessness. See, in antiquity, if you were a woman without a male covering, life was extremely hard. They didn't care if you didn't have no family, no cousins, or no uncles to go to. You would wind up destitute. Mm-hmm. Now, this funeral procession consisted of hired mourners, musicians with flutes and cymbals. And when Jesus saw her, he said to the widow, "Don't weep. Please don't weep." He had sympathy on her heart and wanted to do something. Now, I'm in my mind, in my spiritual mind, as I was writing this, I'm picturing the one crowd following Jesus as a great, big, excited crowd. You know, I see a lot of crowds. We're not going to talk about that crowd. But I see a lot of crowds, like, in New Orleans. I'm going to use New Orleans, for example. Yeah. So you can be in New Orleans. I haven't been. I'm going one day. And I'm going to be marching right with them. Y'all going to say, "I know that ain't Rambouza." Yeah, it's her. So I'm telling you right now. So when I get there. But they just having fun. They playing the music. They jumping and dancing. So I'm thinking that this is what the crowd looks like behind Jesus. But then also in New Orleans, you can have a funeral crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll come and they march real solemn. They play the music and they have the casket. They be pulling the casket. I'm thinking that the pallbearers that was carrying the coffin was just marching real solemn. And they get to this intersection right here at the gate where the jubilant crowd meets the sad crowd. Jesus walked up, touched the coffin, and those who was carrying the coffin stood still. You know why they stood still? Because the person that was dead in the coffin started moving. See, I know all y'all probably been to these men, probably been pallbearers before. Now, if you carrying the casket, and somebody in that casket start moving, you gonna stand still, say, "Maybe I need to set this down. Maybe I need to set this down. This ain't for me to be carrying. This is a situation I ain't never encountered before. Maybe you need to just set it down. Set it down." Bible says that they stood still. And Jesus said to the young man, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The Bible says he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Pallbearers is gone, okay. Jesus presented him back to his mother. Jesus looked at the boy and spoke to a dead person as if he were alive. This funeral procession changed from a sad walk to the cemetery to a glory spot on the road. A spot where the Lord blessed. A spot where those that were sad in the crowd were able to witness the crowd to the crowd that Jesus that was following Jesus. So I would imagine that the sad crowd got behind Jesus with the happy crowd and started following Jesus to the next spot. Because they had something to say. They had something to say. We was in the funeral. Especially those hired mourners, you know, because you hired them and they the gossipers. We was hired to be mourners in this funeral. And Jesus came through the gate and touched the coffin. And that lady's boy got up. Got up and was talking. So this crowd, the sad crowd, is now a joyous crowd. So I'm saying to you, if you follow Jesus, if you're in the crowd that's following Jesus, not the sad crowd, but if you're in the crowd that's going to follow Jesus, you got something to shout about. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you still breathing, you got something to shout about. If you woke up this morning, you got something to shout about. If you had some coffee this morning, you got something to shout about. If the Lord gave you some clothes to put on your back, you got something to shout about. What crowd are you following? Are you following the sad crowd? Or are you following the jubilant, joyous crowd? See, joy is something that the world cannot take from you. Happiness is one thing. Happiness depends on the situation. But joy, joy is down in your soul, and there's nobody that can take your joy away. Nobody can take your joy away. So do you have joy this morning? Because you're following the right crowd. Are you following the right crowd? I want to ask you, are you spiritually dead this morning? Have you lost your zeal for running for the Lord? Have you lost your passion for the kingdom of God? This young man was resuscitated. Now, we have seen on many of those doctor shows people being resuscitated. Resuscitated. This young boy was being resuscitated. He had stopped breathing, and resuscitation caused him to start breathing again. And God is speaking to us today, saying Jesus is coming to town to resuscitate whatever is sleeping in your life. Jesus is coming to town to resuscitate everything you've been praying for. Jesus is coming to town to resuscitate everything you've been waiting on. Jesus is coming to town to resuscitate everything you've been worried about. Jesus is coming to town to resuscitate everything you've been going without. We've been going without a lot of stuff through this season. But Jesus is coming to town to resuscitate everything that you've been distressed about. Jesus is coming to town to resuscitate everything that's been disturbing you. Jesus is coming to town to resuscitate everything that has frustrated you. Jesus is coming to town to change everything that has discouraged you. Jesus spoke to the dead as if it were alive. Romans 4:17b says, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God, who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. We know that the world was created out of nothing. We know that the Lord stepped out, stood on nothing, stepped out on nothing, reached out to nothing, made something out of nothing. We know that God did that. So we got to believe in a can-do God that can change the situation and create something out of nothing. Regardless of what your situation is, the Bible says God can bring back to life. He can bring it back to life and create a new thing out of nothing. Jesus is coming to town. Santa might be coming to give some presents to the kids in a big old red bag. But Jesus has the presents that we need. The Bible says that after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you and he will place you on a firm foundation. Jesus is our gift. He is our future. He is our hope. He is our potential. Jesus is coming to town. He will have compassion on our pain. He will bring hope out of our tragedy. The dead man did not earn a second chance at life. He was given a second chance at life. As we cannot earn a new life in Christ because it is a gift from God, we can accept God's gift. We can accept his present of new life because Jesus is coming to town. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? As the song that says, will you be ready when Jesus comes? Jesus is coming to town. So you better look out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Jesus is coming to town. Jesus is coming to town. To God be the glory.